Let me read what is normally called the Lord's Prayer, but it has been also called the Disciples' Prayer, and it begins with verse 9 of Matthew 6. So let me begin reading verse 9, and then I'll read through the end of the prayer, which is verse 13. Christ told his disciples, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And how often we need to pray that. I mean, throughout the day, we need to pray, "Lord, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Perhaps a number of you remember the 1950 television series, Father Knows Best. How many of you remember Father Knows Best? And follow the lives of a family known as the Andersons, a middle-class family living in the Midwestern town of Springfield. It ran from 1954 to 1960. This politically incorrect title, Father Knows Best, in today's culture is not such a bad heading for this section of the Lord's Prayer that we want to look at tonight, where we are admonished to pray to our Heavenly Father, "Thy will be done. Father, you know best, so your will be done." Honestly, true hope is only found in the wise and faithful rule and leadership of our Heavenly Father, who is the creator of everything that is good, wise, right, loving, faithful, and true, whose perspective in life is the knowledge of what is best for you and me. After all, he is infinitely wise, which tells us our Heavenly Father really does know what is best. I love my children, and I desire what is best for them. I have a will for their lives. But our Heavenly Father, who has a love that is of infinite quantity and quality, has a will for us as well. His will, we pray, "Thy will for my life be done." Now, regarding this prayer, perhaps we've all wondered at some time, what is the need, the reason to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Since God is a sovereign God, which means his will inevitably be done. So why bother then to pray? Why ask for what is certain to take place, what is already determined, destined, decided? Why even bother to pray, "Lord, your will be done"? Is there a possibility that our will even matters, even if we pray earnestly and sincerely? Well, there are two extreme positions here that believers often take. First, there are Christians that out of duty will pray, "Lord, thy will be done." I mean, that's what we are commanded to do, so that's what we're going to do. Pray, "Thy will be done." Meaning they resign to the fact that we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to be obedient. And so they pray not so much out of faith, but out of capitulation. They shift their wills into neutral, letting God's will fulfill its plan. But let's understand that God in his sovereignty is not independently deterministic. God is not asking us to fatalistically say, "Whatever will be, will be. The future is not mine to see, so sera, sera." Such is not spiritual thinking. And such thinking destroys faithful prayer and obedience. And certainly this is not a high view of God's sovereignty. But then second, there are those Christians who overemphasize the importance of man's will, meaning they look at praying this prayer as a way of bending God's will to their own, getting God to yield to what we think is best. But here we place too much emphasis on what we want, what we think is best. Remember, God is not some cosmic vending machine. And so since God is sovereign, but in his sovereignty he gives us choices, and James reminds us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man truly availeth much, what is the right understanding when we pray, Lord, thy will be done? Should we even pray that? Well, David sang of the angels who did God's will in Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. Notice that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. Notice that do his commandments, who hearken unto the voice of thy word. And how can we as humans conform to this angelic standard of obedience to God's will? Well, let's realize that there are three distinct aspects of God's will. First, there is the will of purpose, which is God allowing sin to run its course and Satan to have his way for a season. But in God's appointed time, sin's course and Satan's design will end exactly according to God's plan. His will be done. Isaiah 14:24 states, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Then second, there is God's will of desire. There's God's will of purpose. Secondly, there's God's will of desire. But unlike God's will of purpose, God's will of desire is not always fulfilled. Let's turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 34. These are Christ's words as he looked over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. I mean, it was God's will of purpose that Jerusalem follow him, believe in him, claim him as their Messiah, but what did they end up doing? Crucifying him. And so this will of purpose was not fulfilled. But yet, it was God's will that Jerusalem come and accept Jesus as their Messiah. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But evidently, as we all know, all men will not come to repentance. And then Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. It's God's will of purpose that all of us experience this abundant life, but will all believers experience this life of Jesus? The answer is no. And so again, God's will of desire is not always fulfilled. But then third, there is God's will of command, which is the ardent desire of God's heart that we, that you and I, who are his children, will obey him from a loving, willing heart. That we will cry, Lord, thy will be done. Meaning we do present ourselves as living sacrifices. Meaning our prayer is that we become servants of righteousness. And so God's will of purpose focuses on the ultimate end of the world, his second coming, his millennial reign, his eternal kingdom. His will of desire embraces conversion, salvation, you and me. His will of command centers on the commandment and obedience of his children, which I believe comes to fruition in the words of the psalmist in Psalm 37. So let's turn back there, Psalm 37, where we read beginning with verse 3. Keep in mind, this will of command comes to fruition when we do the following that's admonished of us, beginning with verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. The point is, as we trust in Christ, as we trust in the Lord, as we delight ourselves in him, as we make him the object of our love and our meditation, our activity, our life, as we commit our way unto the Lord, as we humbly and wholly yield ourselves to God, something wonderful begins to happen. Praying thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven brings to pass an ongoing progressive sanctification. Why do we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? It brings to pass a progressive sanctification whose fruit is not so much tangible answers to prayer, but an ever-deepening, yielded life of trust and dependence on the infinitely wise God who becomes the sweet fellowship of our souls. The point of all of this is, when we pray throughout the day, thy will be done, when we at the same time trust the Lord, we trust him. We delight ourselves in what he desires for us. We commit our ways to him. As verse 7 says, we rest in the Lord. We wait patiently for him. What happens is our hearts really do then want God's will to be done. It's not just I've got to pray thy will be done, so I'll pray it. That's what we really want. Lord, your will to be done. What happens is God turns our will into his will. So I guess what I'm trying to say is our wills, yes, still matter. We're still human. Again, they matter. But to the degree they coordinate with God's will, and remember, as Paul said in Revelation chapter 12, verse 2, that his will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect, which is that we might be, what is God's will? That we might be conformed to the image of his dear Son. That we might become like Christ. And so throughout the day we're praying, Lord, thy will be done, with the hope and the desire that throughout the day, the events, the activities, the experiences of life will bring us more and more into his image. That more and more will become like Christ. That is God's will for our lives. Isn't that something that we should want to pray? Isn't that something that we should want? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's God's ultimate will. And anything else, all the intricacies of life, are kind of like a mosaic that God is putting in place to bring to pass not a picture of us, but a picture of Christ shining through us, through our lives to the world around us. Our desire is, might his great salvation be more and more experienced by me and evidenced through my life. We're talking about a biblical worldview, and this really is having a biblical worldview. That our desire is, Lord, as I pray, thy will be done. Lord, thy will be done. We are praying, Lord, as I live this day, grow me, purify me, sanctify me, so that at the end of the day, I'm a little bit more like Jesus. A little bit more like him. Amy Carmichael has written, and shall I pray to change thy will, my Father, until it accord to mine? But no, Lord, no. That shall never be. Rather, I pray thee blend my human will with thine. Amen. Blend my human will with thine. I've noticed in my own life that when I try to fight God's will, I never win. I just really become a very frustrated and even angry person. I'm not good to be around when I say, Lord, your will be done. Lord, in essence, that means, Lord, your life be lived through me. There certainly is a beautiful peace that comes over me and a joy that fills me and a life that shines from me to a dark and evil world around me. And that's not Robert Lane, but it's the Lord Jesus. Let his beauty be seen in me.